Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Well, Home Base Action Jacks, I'm Tom Holland, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures up 175, Dow Futures up 3, as they Futures up 28 before the big job number. We had, don't forget, we had jobless claims were down 50,000 from last week. Of course, last week was much higher than people thought, so if you average the two together, they we're sort of back here. So we will see what happens with Carl on the second hour. They're expected to add 706 jobs in June. Unemployment rate to drop to 5.6 and 5.8. Those are the big numbers. A worker shortage, at least I'm going to say in the low end. I don't know that there's a shortage in the upper end, but that we will talk about with Kevin and Carl. Kevin, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
Well, that's good. That's good. What are you? What's going on for the weekend? Do you guys have fireworks one of the nights over there? Are you doing the?
Yeah, we'll explode things. Yeah, I don't have to go any farther than my porch to watch fireworks.
Now we're talking.
Now, my question is, I listened to a dude the other day. Of course, there's a fireworks shortage, right, that you hear about. And
like the chicken wing shortage?
Yeah, like the chicken wing shortage.
Worse.
Yeah, worse. But it's all retail fireworks. It's knuckleheads like you guys who want to buy fireworks. I don't do fireworks. But on a professional level, they interview a guy and he goes, they said, well, the interviewer, some lady goes, so, Joe, what about your fireworks shortage? And he goes, what shortage are you talking about? And she goes, well, we heard there's a fireworks shortage. He goes, that's for, like, sparklers and stuff. He goes, if you recall, last year nobody had fireworks shows, even though they had all the fireworks. We got so much fireworks, you should see the best shows this year you'll ever see because they should have last year's stuff and this year's stuff. So there you go. Somebody was trying to make a big splash media-wise about what a big shortage there was, and the guy said, what are you talking about? We're loaded with it. We didn't blow any off last year. So there.
Well, some of us did. Some of our locales did, because if you live on a small lake and you have a homeowners association that does its own fireworks show, we were good to go.
A lot of those were canceled. I mean, maybe not the home, but like Orleans was canceled. You know, the ones out by Audrey all got canceled last year. I think Chicago.
We actually had a couple of people who live here went in, several years ago and got themselves certified to do the fireworks show. So we don't even hire anybody to do it anymore, which means we can buy more stuff to blow up.
Can you go into I thought the guys that really did the crazy stuff, like the guys who do like the, well, at least like a Taste of Chicago, those guys made those themselves, or there's a couple of people that only make it for the. You can't go out and buy one of those that goes like 1,000 feet in the air and blows all over the place, can you? I mean, the real huge ones.
Yeah, like, you have to be licensed. That's all. You have to get yourself licensed.
All right, because I mean, the ones that are on the barges that all go off electronically and everything, they used to use a Taste of Chicago on the 3rd of July, or the ones you see over the rivers in New York. But there's not regular people out there lighting those things. Those are all big, you know, electronic, timed to the music.
Right, no, it's programmed. It's programmed and computerized. You have to put together your program, though, and that's based on what you're willing to spend to, you know, on the fireworks themselves, the different kinds of fireworks.
What is a real big, huge, massive, you know, 100 little purple things or blue things, one of the really big ones, what do those things cost?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't either, but I bet it's...
I know what we spend every year, and or at least I don't know it off top of my head, but it's part of our annual reporting. So, you know, we're the association's transparent about that, and you know, and it's, and what we do is it's donated. So, you know, we always get in donations about what we spend, and it's pretty predictable year by year.
Well, I was out last night, and a young lady who I've known forever. I mean, I know she had when I knew her, she worked at the was going to school and was tending bar. Well, now she's of course got a real job and everything. And it turns out, I said, well, you know, maybe she came on the show. And by the way, I said, by the way, what do you know something about? I just give it her grief, and she goes, what do you mean? I work for. She's an absolute encyclopedia on Medicaid versus Medicare, all the different laws on Medicaid and who gets covered what and where, foster kids, where you go, who pays the bill. I was absolutely fascinated. I listened to her for about a half hour last night. We got to have her on. I mean, it is the most complex thing I've ever heard. She goes, yeah, it's amazingly complicated, all the different laws like in the state of Illinois and who gets covered where, how many people are on Medicaid and Medicare for a lot of reasons, whether or not there's people who don't even know they're covered that are covered. It's really unbelievable how they can go to, depending on your rate of coverage or what your deal you're in, because there's a million different deals. You go to regular hospitals, you go to county. I think we maybe have her on when you're on, Kevin, because I know you're really into. I mean, it's fascinating. I mean,
because I'm Medicare eligible, and you know what, the work plan where I have is a perfectly fine supplemental for me. But I probably would like to know if Medicare would cover any of the it would cover treatment for adverse reactions to vaccines, to coronavirus.
I'm sure it does,
because Anthem will not.
I'm sure it does. Medicare covers just about it.
You're sure Medicare does. Yeah, I actually called the carrier and I said, well, you know, if I have an adverse reaction to the vaccine and I need to be treated or I need to be hospitalized, will you cover? And they said, nope. Well, you know, and this was a get off, hang up, you know, get on, put me on hold and go check the policy and go check the, you know, with a boss and come back and they say, nope, it's considered an experimental drug.
Well, I guess my question to that is, and there's always a question, Kevin, as you well know, my question, if you walk in with a not breathing very well and you have a blood clot on your lung, when's the last time somebody asked you how you got the blood clot? Oh, if you got it that way, we're not treated. They're going to treat the blood clot, I would think.
Well, the emergency room will, and then it just gets to be an issue of who's going to pay for
it. But how do they know what caused it? I mean, nobody ever asked.
Well, I suppose if it's spike proteins in your bloodstream, that would probably be a giveaway.
Well, a lot of times people have insurance. I mean, I'm just opening up the conversation for debate as we always do, but I mean, if whatever it is, I mean, if you walk in with, they may charge you more to be a smoker or something, but if you go in with a lung disease, they're not going to say, you smoked 10 years ago, we're not covering it. I mean, whatever it is, you know, I don't see how they, first of all, how are they going to know for sure that it came from the vaccine? I suppose if you walk in and say, I've got a fever for 24 hours and want to be in a hospital bed, they're going to say, get out of here, you'll be fine tomorrow. But, I mean, if you actually did get a blood clot or something like that, what are they going to say? I'm not going to cover you? That any other blood clot we will, not that one?
Pretty much.
Well, I don't know. I wonder how that even works procedurally.
The reason I called and asked is because I had read about people being denied coverage, so I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder what my coverage is.
Well, you know, when we, in PTI, we looked into it. Some companies, if you're big enough, I mean, I don't know where this, like PTI, if somebody makes it to Medicare, they can just go on Medicare, and we don't have to pay. But if you're over, I don't know if it's 50 people or 100 or what. I mean, if you're working at General Motors, and I think this is true. If somebody, maybe it's not anymore. The day you go off, you're over 65, if you're still working at General Motors, I'm sure they have some people, I think General Motors still has you on their regular plan, and you don't go on Medicare. It's not your primary, it's a backup, and your primary provider is still the General Motors healthcare plan. I think. I mean, we'll ask somebody when they know more about it than I do. But I know it's. I mean, we had a call and make sure when somebody made it to 65. And because I mean, if you're a big company, I think, and you got a lot of people that are 70 working there, I think you're still paying. But you know, like I said, that may have changed. What do you make of you know, Kevin? What's going on in the labor thing? I mean, even with the good jobless number yesterday, relatively good. It seems to me like there's still a lot of layoffs in the higher end, and I, you know, as usual, I always get very concerned about the government spending money that other people are going to have to pay for one of these days. How many billion dollars do they give these airlines to keep paying people during the pandemic? And now, when they're back to what, 50% of capacity, 60% of capacity, all of a sudden they're short people. But they took the money. Well, if you're paying people, shouldn't they be ready for the phone call? Well, what am I missing here? There seems to be a gap of some kind in the logic.
Would that suggest that perhaps we had a very ill-conceived plan?
Yeah. Well, I know part of it was rooted.
Okay, good. Just making sure. That's sort of what I suspected too.
Well, but I don't.
We acted in a hurry, and got what happens when you act in a hurry. We just happened to act in a hurry $1 trillion at a time.
Well, it's the first, you know, when we were pretty much shut down here at PTI, we qualified for the first PPP plan, but we didn't for any of the other stuff because we didn't drop off very much. I mean, not enough. But I mean, it certainly hurt business. I mean, for God's sake, you didn't see a customer for 14 months. I mean, nobody came here. Between the bridges up and the riots and the pandemic, there was nobody downtown. And usually I'll meet a new client, before we, you know, now we're more selective on clients, but we still take a few. I mean, I'll meet them at the, you know, the local Starbucks or something. If they live in Schaumburg, I'll meet them halfway or whatever. You know, we will make house calls for the right people. And, you know, they were all closed and nobody wanted to meet anybody. So, I mean, we took the first PPP, you know, and like I said, for that, you know, we didn't qualify for anything. But I get this thing, one of the listeners, and whoever sent it to me, thank you. And of course, I don't have it, but I suppose I could find it. It was a report on everybody in Illinois that got the PPP, but they cut it off at like 25 grand or 10 grand or something. So if you got the smaller numbers, you weren't in there, but still. I think there was like 27,000 firms that got over 10 grand. It was a massive number, Kevin. But you read through it. I didn't read every one. It was my business to know if somebody got everything, even though it was right there. But some of these places, there were like churches in the hood. Those are the ones that stand out. And a few other companies. The whole idea was, I mean, if you read PTI's piece, there would have been, you know, 8 employees. 2 months later, 8 employees. That's the whole purpose of it, right? Was to keep everybody. Well, there's people in there that got 75 grand, you know, employees 60 days later, zero. Well, the whole idea was to pay people, not to fire them. I mean, what am I missing here? I mean, is there any sort of...
Well, and the question is, did they keep them for the duration of the PPP until it expired, which, you know, is defensible, or did they just take the money and run?
I think they team-arred it to take the money and run. Because I don't know if they had really employees. How many employees were in a church anyway? I guess anyway. I'm not calling those guys out, but they were the ones that came out to me as employees now zero. Yet that the church is still open. I mean, there was no clearly if you want to be. You can go through there and just get really pissed off at a lot of people, but you certainly have to remember two things when you do that. At least in my opinion, you do. That the goal was to throw money out there, and they didn't really care who got it. And by the way, if one of our buddies got it, that's even better. So that was part of the deal. And I guess nobody cared. And oh, by the way, all the money that was in the PPPs and the checks that we all got like dogs. You know, we got our bone. Is kid stuff compared to what other people got? It's like 25% of the total. And we're never going to see a list of the other 75, are we? Meanwhile, we're arguing with each other whether they should have got a $10,000 check. And I wonder, I mean, how much, the airlines, did they do this right? I don't know. I mean, somehow, somewhere in a perfect world, Kevin, the people at United Airlines, everybody should be off that board because they had their best years ever for the last 10, 15 years. And there was no more money on the balance sheet than was when they started. They bought stock back with all of it and paid bonuses. I mean, don't you think they could have bought a plane somewhere along the line? I mean,
or have a a rainy day fund. You know, I mean, it's not a preposterous notion, is it, for a company to have some cash in reserve?
Well, I don't want to talk.
They think that that's a ridiculous thing. I know everybody wants every last dollar to, you know, to be working for them and to be earning something, but.
Yeah, but it's not working for him, Kevin. It's buying stock back.
Don't you have to be able to withstand a shock of some sort?
Well, you're a man of the people, and I probably have a few more, at least graduate level economics classes than you. But I want you to tell me the answer to this: why the bleep does everybody go out and buy their own stock back? I mean, I can tell you two kind of dumb reasons. One is to make sure the stock's up, so the stock options at the high and the people in the company have a greater chance of being worth something to them. And they only pay, 21% on that if you hang on to it rather than the other stuff. So, and of course it gives the people that have the shares that are the executives a greater percentage of the voting power because you're buying other people out. But other than those two kind of nefarious reasons, I can't think of a worse use of cash than buying your own stock back. And didn't it used to be illegal? I mean, what am I missing here? Why am I? Is there something I'm missing about how good this is? And yet everybody.
Well, I don't remember it being illegal. I have heard it justified as, hey, we're just investing in ourselves, which I think is a great load of crap. But it sounds good in a newspaper article. What it's really saying is, look, if I'm reading this. I'm looking and saying, you don't think you can grow your business. So you're just, pulling back the stock. Because otherwise the capital that you have, you'd be deploying your capital in some growth venture. So it either tells me your company sucks or, whatever the premise is or your product line is out of date or, and never coming back. It could be any of those, or it tells me that you're an incompetent management team because you can't find growth. Your next opportunity.
But why can't we? One of the things that I've thought. I mean, some of the professors at University of Chicago felt the same way. I mean, it's why I got felt that way. It wasn't my idea. Tell me why? How the world, the corporate world, and the world in this country wouldn't be an awful lot better if the corporations had to pay the same tax rate as individuals, but they could deduct dividends, because then the individuals pay on that. Tell me why that's not better than the current system. For 100 different reasons.
Well, let me see. Why is it not better? Because, I don't know. I don't have a good reason for you, Tom. I really don't. Our tax system needs an overhaul. And it needs one, a start from scratch style overhaul. And then once they figure that out, a plan for how we're going to get to it. But I don't envision that happening anytime soon.
Well, the single biggest, and this is what the lady who's now the FCC chair, I mean, she's got a, hair up her behind about Amazon, and rightfully so. I mean, obviously we've listened to Jeff and talk about the whole Amazon, or the whole Luckbox, thing about Amazon. No, but why does Amazon, on a numbers way, why does Warren Buffett, why does he just sit around with a huge pile of cash and wait for something to buy? And why is there no clamor for anybody to say, hey, look, I invested in your company, you got $90 bazillion on the side, give me some of it. And Warren, oh no, I'm not paying a dividend ever. Well, and the reason for that is always going to be, it's double taxed, and I can do better because of the double tax. well, Kevin, let's remove the double tax. It's been like this for 50 years since I was in school, for God's sake. Let's remove it for God's sake. Let's say that one way or the other, Milton Friedman said either do it this way or have the shareholders pay income tax whether they get the money or not. That you just, if General Motors makes $4 a share, whether you pay a dividend or don't pay a dividend, General Motors pays no income tax. The shareholders have to pay $4 a share. So if you got 10,000 shares, you're paying tax on $40,000. I guarantee you that if General Motors would be paying a dividend, or the shareholders would be there with knives.
Yeah.
I mean, it's way too easy for these guys to just become colossuses, and then all of a sudden we wring our hands and say, how'd they get so big, or why are they so big? That's one of the reasons. By the way, listen to your...
What we need to do now is sort of get back to what was the whole point of having taxes. And originally, the whole point was pay for the government. But also, then, you know, once we got into different kinds of tax theories and approaches to how we're going to do it and all of that, there was always an element affecting behavior. So we tax alcohol as an example because we don't want people to drink as much and we want to make it harder to do. Okay, I get that theory. I don't like the social engineering, the pick winners and losers type of attitude. But, okay, we do that. Well, good. If that's what we're going to do, then why don't we take a look at the behaviors we're getting, because we're getting exactly what we reward in the tax system.
Well, the idea of the tax system for it used to be that, but it's also morphed into an advantage for me and my business versus somebody else in their business. I want my individual name in there as not having to pay taxes. I mean, look at what I would love to get an accountant down here, a tax accountant that could tell me the difference in them. And I know if somehow or another real estate has incredible tax advantages. I think it has to do with being able, and I think you can still do this, that if you lose money on a project, you can take off, you can have a bigger tax loss than you ever were at risk. We certainly can't do that in the financial industry. I mean,
right, but you can, yeah, in real estate, because we originally, once upon a time, decided that real estate development was really, really important to the health of the economy, and therefore we are going to give it a tax treatment that causes people to take the risk of doing them. Cool, okay. But we're so out of control on it now, and everything is so, you know, the protection that's built in there is so expected at this point. And everybody's afraid to shock an industry,
yeah.
Which I get. I think that's important, although, hey, this might be the perfect time since we've already shocked all the industries.
Well, we haven't shocked all of them. We've shocked some. But, you know,
we shocked a lot of them.
Yeah, we shocked a lot of them. I was listening to our new, and everybody knows, I mean, I think everybody who listens knows that I was surely no fan of Trump. I don't like being lied to every day. But I also know that... the people who are Trump fans, and there are a lot of them, one of them are close to me, nothing I can do about that, I keep trying, but it doesn't seem to get me too far.
And yet you keep trying.
I don't know if I
admire the persistence, or if I'm shaking my head at the you keep trying.
Well, considering
get a different result.
Considering the creatures that I'm trying with, I might as well be talking to the poodle. But anyway, the poodle might listen. The Maltese, no, she wouldn't listen. She's more stubborn little thing. Anyway, I listened to our new commerce secretary, her chamber of commerce lady, whatever the hell she is, but one of the two. She might have been the chamber of commerce lady. And I, first of all, now in this world. We had to appoint a female, right? And by the way, she's very bright. She's very talented. So it's not like, but everything's perfect now. I mean, everything is different from Trump in terms of people's perception. Okay, so Trump comes on there and he'd be bitching and moaning about something and telling lies and insulting people, which, you know, I got really tired of. I think a lot of people did. But he basically, you know, didn't care if you knew he lied. All right. I think that's, is that a fair way of putting it, Kevin? And, you know, and so now this lady comes in, and she's obviously very educated, very smart. And if somebody starts saying, there's the British guy on CNBC, forget his name, is interviewing about China. And she's talking about, and he says, well, you know, they got like slave labor and stuff over there. And she's talking about how the trade with China is up and this is up and that's up. She goes, oh yeah, well, we don't condone anything like that, and we sure are working hard. And he says, well, how exactly are you working hard? And she goes, well, our approach is to have, to go at this with a whole bunch of nations. So President Biden, when he was on his big tour, you know, they talked about it at the G7 meeting and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there going, damn it. We'll cover this after the break. This is no different than Trump. Absolutely no different, other than in style. S&P futures up 450, NASDAQ futures up 35. I'll say what I mean on that I'll explain that when I come back. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 450. NASDAQ futures up 35. We've got the Dow is up 20. So this is before the jobs report. Again, we're looking at like 706, and we're going to drop the unemployment rate down to 5.6, which again we'll talk with Carl about because we're just going to push more people into the we don't know what they're doing column. The unemployment number now of all times is totally useless, but we keep reporting it. As I've said a million times, the first economics class I was ever in at Notre Dame professor said the unemployment rate is useless, and here it is. How many years later we're still using it? DAX up 53.3%. FTSE up 12.1%. CAC around up 3%. Let's call that one flat. So slightly bullish over in Europe. Asia, which was bearish yesterday, Nikkei is up 76.3%. Shanghai down 70%. That's 2%. Hang Seng down 517. That's 1.8%. Oil prices are down over there, but the China and Hong Kong are down real heavy, which is, I'm not exactly sure why, but I think they're having some problems over there with their growth numbers, and I think they're having some problems with inflation, but of course they won't tell us. Bonds, 1.44 in the 10-year. Bund, minus 0.03, which is minus 0.23 on the number. So they're going even more negative today. Japan, positive 0.04, so pretty much unchanged. Oil down 14 cents, but still over 75, 75.09. When I honestly thought we'd never get back to 75, or not never, but in a short period of time that we'd never get that high, but we are. Brent down 16 cents, 75.68. And again, the spread between West Texas and Brent is only 57 cents. That has to be a low for decades, for God's sake. Natural gas, down a penny at 364, but still a huge high for, well, now July. RBOB unchanged at 226. We've got gold is up 1040, but still, that can't make it back to 1800, at least not yet. That's 1787 is the whole number. Silver up 20 cents, 2630. Copper up 3 cents to 426. And Bitcoin down 128 to 32,886. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a good start here on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways on a Friday morning. And in fact, there's actually no accidents to report. So if you're coming in on the Edens or Kennedy, all quiet. Same for the Eisenhower. Stevenson looking good. Dan Ryan, I-57 and the Bishop Ford, all quiet. Same for Lakeshore Drive. Weather today, it's going to be a beautiful Friday before we warm up for the weekend, but today, similar to yesterday, mild temperatures, partly cloudy skies, a high of just 70 degrees, lots of sunshine. Right now it's crystal clear and 62 degrees downtown, going up to a high of 70. Then we'll be in the mid to upper 80s beginning tomorrow, but enjoy the nice mild weather today. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 106 today. Right now it's clear and 88. In sports, White Sox fell behind early and then came back to beat the Twins, winning 8-5 yesterday. Cubs were off. They're at Cincinnati tonight. That's a 6:10 Chicago time first pitch. Diamondbacks topped the Giants 5-3. Chief.
Yeah, I was talking about this lady I was listening to yesterday and our commerce secretary. And again, the Trump people is when they look you right in the eye and they say every politician lies. Why was he any different? Well, he was pretty bad at it, and he made it so obvious that you were listening to somebody lying that it was hard to take. But now this lady, I'm going to say that they're going to do nothing. The message from this administration is whatever you want to buy in China, that the Apples, that the Microsofts, the Nikes have these guys by the short hairs. There is going to be absolutely zero problem with trading with China at any level. There's going to be no. Maybe he'll talk about it next year at the G7 again. Hey man, remember last year we talked about? No, nobody cares. Right now it's wide open with China, and you know what? Just say that, Kevin. Just say that, and don't. I mean, don't. You know, and don't criticize the Trump people by backing a liar, because of these people. Is anybody tell the truth anywhere? I mean, I'm looking at the bonds up again today because I had a little short position of bonds, so it's pissing me off because they're going up. But bonds are up 70 cents. In the last 3 weeks, the bonds have gone straight up as everybody now is aware inflation has reared its ugly head. And so we have Jerome Powell up there talking they're going to stick to a $130 billion buy per month in the federal balance sheet. Okay, and I'm looking at the last 2 weeks. It's 125 in 2 weeks. Now, did they double that just so you shut up the inflation people, or you the people who say, well, "Wait a minute"?
Yeah, I was going to say, not clear on the concept of stick to, huh?
No, so they've essentially doubled it. So you can't believe any of these people. So again, it absolutely does not put me in Trump camp. But don't when you say the man did nothing but lie, which he did, just be aware who you're comparing him to. None of these. I mean,
there's a big difference between Biden's lies and Trump's lies.
What's the difference?
Trump made up his own lies, and Biden's repeating other people's lies.
Well, but they're much more organized.
Darn it!
I mean, clearly the SEC is looking
at his note cards. He's reading lies from his note cards.
Yeah, clearly the SEC is looking at this abuse. The SEC chairman could be playing golf today. I mean, how hard is he looking at it? One of the best commercials, I think, in terms of human communication, that I think I ever saw was a guy who, I don't know if was it a Carex commercial or Midas or some repair facility, and the guy's calling up about his car, and he goes, "Hey, you know, you've had my car for like 4 days. Are you guys ever going to fix it?" And all of a sudden, they got these two fat guys, spatially challenged guys, getting their sandwiches for lunch, and they're sitting on the hood of the guy's car. Eating their sandwich, and they go, "Oh yeah, I got my two best men on it right now." okay. Yes, they were in fact on it. they weren't working on it, but was it a lie? I don't know. I mean, it depends on how you think about it, right? I mean, lies are in the eyes of the beholder. But anybody thinks they're getting any truth from these people, they're manipulating markets. They're talking to you. I just wish I knew the end game. I mean, I want to know, Kevin, if they drive things back to a massive inflation number to where they absolutely make buffoons out of themselves, and we go back to some, won't be the same, but some shred of 1977. I can see today who the winner is when you start pouring money in the system. Clearly, if you tell people the number is 130 and it's really going to be 260, the people who short bonds are the losers, and the people who are long bonds defying all odds are the winners. I get that part. And the people that are closer to the action are going to make a lot more money than other people just looking at the news and saying, "Well, gee, that can't be going to happen. It's got to go this way." I mean, I get that, who's the long term winner here? I mean, is it going to be the government themselves to pay people back 20 years from now in money that's worth a third of what it is today? I mean, I'm trying to figure out who exactly is the winner. Who's pulling the strings that wants this to happen? I can see it happen on a daily basis, because you can trade against it. If you actually knew the Fed was going to be double the buyer for the next 2 weeks, I mean, even I can make money doing that. I mean, for God's sake, the Audrey's pet poodle can make money doing that. But I mean, in the short term, yeah. Do you favor your friends? Do you want them trading ahead of you? I mean, that's all the government's been doing for the last 15 years. I mean, Obama people, I thought, were the first people that really started trading ahead of stuff. Trump people were masters at it, and now these guys are doing it right out of the gate too. So. And, you know, I guess it's the new game. You make, you know, but the government, you know, you give insider information to people. It used to be companies that did it, but now it's the government that does it. I mean, can you believe, at some point, what is the end game to this? Are people, I mean, who's going to be advantaged if all of a sudden everybody we know that's making 40 grand a year is fighting a 10% inflation a year, or 15 or 16? I mean, and we're going to make them like serfs, for God's sake. I mean, who wins by that? I mean, somebody might, but who is it?
Well, doesn't it in part depend on the reasoning for it? You know, if let's just say, you know, let's just take this big leap and assume that people totally understand the consequences of their actions, and they're just trying to, are you trying to rebuild a society in a different way? And one of the ways to do it then is to make sure that people have a really need for a significant government presence in their lives. Remember when during the Obama administration, when they had that Julia? They had Julia, and Julia was, there was a video about Julia who had government assistance throughout her life, and this was a really proud thing, you know, that for her, is look at how the government helped her when she was young, and then helped her when she was a young mother, and helps her, you know, and goes on. Now, if that's your view of what government is supposed to be, then any policies that would tend to move us in that direction are what you'd implement, are they not?
Well, I agree, Kevin, but everything somewhere has to get paid for. So everything has an end game, and the people.
Was that Thatcher that said, you know, sooner or later you run out of everybody else's money?
Well, yeah,
that's the problem with it.
Yeah, and I don't.
I think it was Thatcher, but I can't remember.
But these are concepts that we've learned the hard way along the way. I mean, it's not like they're changing. I mean, I'm stymied.
But when it has failed in the past, there's this arrogance that says they just didn't do it right. We're going to do it right.
Yeah. Well, I guess. But I mean, I'm stunned when I've actually heard, you know, a couple of arguments in restaurants and stuff, the next table or whatever. Not arguments, just discussions about, you know, corporate tax rates. And people will talk about, well, God, this guy Biden wants to raise him to, you know, 27 from 21. This is bull. He's going to do nothing but ruin businesses. He's going to do this, and I shouldn't have to pay anymore. And look at the charities I come up with. I mean, well, whatever kind of crap that you come up with to say why you shouldn't pay the same as everybody else. I mean, everybody's got a reason, right? I've heard all kinds of people on CNBC saying, yeah, if I can only pay 10%, I'm going to give the money to charity, and I'm a better trickler than the government, so I should pay less. Oh, okay, well, that's about as dumb as it gets. But people, are, you know, you can talk yourself into that, I guess. But I'm kind of stunned, Kevin, is that the government yesterday came out and said that the deficit in whatever fiscal year this is going to be $3 trillion. Kevin, in other words, they spent double what they took in. Double. So somebody sitting there over four beers or five martinis arguing whether the corporate tax rate should be 21 or 25, you might as well be sitting there when the Titanic went down arguing over whether you're going to last an hour in the water or an hour and 2 minutes. What's the difference? I mean, you're absolutely...
Well, it doesn't matter anyway, because the big payers aren't going to pay no matter what you do.
No matter what. But what is... But I'm saying,
you know, the people who you think should be the big dollar payers, because it isn't the tax rate that affects them. It's what your taxable income is going to be, which takes us back to what we were discussing before with the tax code and why it needs to be a start-from-scratch overhaul.
Well,
because I don't care. You can make it 100. You can make it 110%. I don't care if my taxable income's zero.
Yeah, really. What's it? But if you're going to put it together, and Dr. J, this was on YouTube that you found. We had a big. It was more of an argument than a discussion regarding the tax code. And my point, which
it's just because that guy Nigerian is just a totally incorrigible person.
Oh, yes, in a lot of ways, yeah. You know, but I mean, the part that I had trouble communicating, and I'm not going to say that he didn't understand because John understands a lot of stuff. I mean, is that you're either going to have one or two types of tax codes, all right? And the trading floor did it one way, and I don't know. We don't have one of our attorney buddies here with us. I don't know if you get away with it on a national level, but there was a clause in the rules where they listed all the bad things you could do, you know, position limits, punching somebody, you know, jumping ahead on a trade. You could have a list of 20 no good Nick things, right? No good Nicks from the Boris Bay.
20 things would get you kicked. The no questions asked get you kicked off.
Right. And then there was a final one that said, anything that goes against the just and equitable principles of trade was the catch-all. To where if I were to say, even if I never thought somebody would think of it, geez, Matty Weber did this, where everybody's going to go, wait a minute. that can't.
Yeah, you're reserving the right to exercise good judgment.
Yeah, and it kind of comes down to what my uncle... everybody knows my dad died early. My uncle used to take good care of me, and we'd be driving around, and he was an ex-fighter pilot, or a former fighter pilot, and whatever that difference that makes, but a different view of the world when people have been, you know, basically shooting at your behind for a while. And we'd see somebody do something like really stupid in traffic. And he would say, Tom, if everybody acted like that, would this traffic be chaos, or would it be orderly? Could people even get around? And the idea was, if everybody did that, whatever it was, even if you never thought of it before, that you never saw anybody drive on the sidewalk before, so you don't really have a law that says you can't drive on the sidewalk. He's going to say, if everybody drove on the sidewalk, how dangerous would it be, or how screwed up would it be? You can't have everybody do that. So that was like incorporated into this just and equitable principles of trade. That if somebody thought of something that you didn't think about before, something bad, by the way, that was illegal too, type of thing. And now when you put the tax code together...
I think the way the law should read and the rule should read in those situations is if there's anything that we haven't covered in here and you decide to try and beat us on a technicality, we reserve the right to beat the crap out of you.
Basically, yeah. So, I mean, so John and I were having this discussion.
You can say, but we're going to beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, I mean, so John and I were having this discussion. I said, okay, you're going to do one of two things, John. You're going to try like we have now to have this massive tax code where everybody tries something and they either get between the lines of something or they don't. And if they have the right lawyers and are going to hire somebody from the IRS for their firm, maybe they could sneak one through that obviously was not intended or probably wasn't intended. Or you can write the tax code a lot less and say, here's the things we know about today. But oh, by the way, our intention is to have everybody pay 25% of their income in taxes, because if they don't, somebody else has to pay more. So if you can figure out some way where you think you're being slick, to use a Southside term, guess what? It better come up to 25% or we're coming after you. I mean, you have to do one of two things.
And so you're arguing for a minimum tax, which I think makes sense. You know, not the alternative minimum tax and that stupid formula that they have, but just, you know what, if you're in a corporate world, you're going to pay income taxes. It's just a matter of, if you make your net income zero or your taxable income zero, then, you know, you always are going to have that issue of, okay, let's look at the accounting. If you do it as a percentage of revenue and there is genuinely a loss, then I don't know how you tax that. It's not easy, but philosophically I think you're absolutely right. And that's where we need to get is you don't get to and tax accounting is supposed to be consistent. I mean, there's a lot of things in GAAP that aren't in tax. So it's supposed to be consistent. Nevertheless, people do it. You know, you get companies that have incredible positive cash flow, and they don't.
Well, our dear departed.
And that's what you want. That's where you want to go in and fix it.
Well, our dear departed friend Bob, who used to come out and talk about this with way more knowledge about it than me. Friend Bob Golden, may he rest in peace for sure. Good friend of Kevin's and mine. But he would say, last time he was on, Kevin, he said one of the biggest holes is the discipline in the transfer pricing. And he goes, and the government just doesn't go there. That's the hole. And what I say is, okay, now, first of all, let's back up. What is transfer pricing? If, let's say Apple, for instance, has a sub that makes the phones in China. Now, whether they're using slave labor or not, let's save that for another day. When the phone comes here, there's going to be a price at which Apple pays essentially one division to another, correct? And it's called a transfer price. It's an internal price that the companies charge essentially different divisions in the same company. Or
right, and
affiliated
you
company.
Have to keep all separate books and
right.
separate bank accounts and all of that kind of stuff. But when you roll it all up, it's all part of Apple.
Right, but what you can do if the pricing is in a different locale, and of course the company in China is probably 51% owned by Chinese and whatever, and all the other BS that goes with it. If you're going to sell a phone for $1,000, and it costs you $50 to make in China, and the tax in China is 5% and the tax here is 50%. I'm going to say that the Apple here is going to pay $900 for that phone from China or $950, and they're going to make very little here. But now the question is, but if the tax rate here is zero and it's 100% in China, I guarantee you they're paying $6 for that phone if it's costing them $5, and they're going to make the profit here. And so that, and for the people in the IRS to essentially dive into Apple's underwear and say, oh no, the transfer pricing really should be here, really cost you this. To do that to every company is way ahead of the game. I mean, but it's reached the point where I'll give you a very simple.
I mean, it is what we'd need to do, but
yes.
You know, the thing is, can you logistically pull it off.
But what if, for instance, this would be nice, if somebody says, geez, I love these Stocks and Jocks guys, they're the best. This Matty Weber, God, he really knows his sports, and boy, this Kevin really knows his shit. Okay, so somebody's a million
dollars. Yeah, nobody would say that.
Nobody would say that. But all of a sudden we got a $1 million sponsor, right? So maybe we could actually start paying some. But all of a sudden PTI is making, you know, 800 grand out of the blue, and all of a sudden we're a corporation and we're paying this, and if, you know, we pay a dividend to somebody, well, okay, we're paying whatever it is. Well, I could probably, now that's in the tax code. Now, I could say, okay, well, you know what? We have Stocks and Jocks is a trademark. Okay, I could put this trademark in Ireland, say, or Bermuda or some damn place, and I could say, okay, we're going to pay rent to the Irish part of the corporation of $900,000 a year to use the trademark, because guess what? We can't do Stocks and Jocks without the trademark. And this is what companies have done with their drugs. They put the patent they get from the U.S. government offshore. Now, we got this trademark from the U.S. government. So to me, it's a real problem if I put it in Ireland and start paying a rent from the U.S. corporation to the Irish corporation. I think that sort of stinks. But now, of course, the IRS has let this slide. Or suppose we resurrect Thomas. We throw him over in Ireland or Bermuda, and we pay Thomas all the rice he can eat, right? Well, but guess what? He's gonna send in a schedule every Monday morning that has, hey, look, it has Kevin on Wednesday and Friday, has Lou on Thursday. A schedule we have anyway. Oh no, we're gonna say that Thomas is the genius, and we're gonna pay $900,000 a year to PTI Ireland. We're gonna pay Thomas, you know, 50 grand. So now there's $850,000.
Scheduling acumen.
Yeah, for his scheduling acumen. So now there's $850,000 worth of profit in Ireland. We didn't do anything in Ireland. Our listeners are here, or whatever. Well, you know, it doesn't pass the smell test.
Well, but we podcast in Ireland.
Yeah, we'll podcast in Ireland. And there's three Irish people that listen. I mean, these are games that people are playing right in front of our very eyes. I mean, right in front of our very eyes. And to me, and somebody's going to say, I mean, Dr. J's point was, it's not illegal. Well, it wasn't addressed. Or it's not enforced, but to anybody's, it just smells. I don't care if this outhouse is illegal; it sure stinks in here. I mean, right? I mean, it's
right. And the shame of it all is that John's right, and
yeah, he's right.
You shouldn't have to make a law about everything because it's impossible.
No, you can't. So you have to have some sort of an overriding thing where you say, "Hey, wait a minute, guys. You got a U.S. trademark. You're talking to U.S. people and all your profits in Ireland." Well, yeah. Okay. Well, why don't we pull that one back? I mean, we can't.
Well, I think this takes us back to the beat the crap out of them rule.
Well, yeah.
We might as well just go with it.
Well, yeah. You know what? That's I don't want it to come to that, Kevin. But I think we're heading that way.
Okay.
Do you want it to come to that? I don't think you do. But we're
not really, you know. I'm not sure I would have wanted it to come to that 20 years ago.
Well, I mean,
I neither want to accept the beating, nor do I have any intention of administering the beating.
No, that'd be hard too. But I just, it's somewhere along the line here, people have to wake up and say, no, why should taxes be fair? Well, it's very simple. If you're from the South Side or you're from any place where you had any sort of an education, even from your dog, well, guess what? If it's not fair, then for every person that doesn't pay, other people have to pay more. And that sucks. Right? I mean, that really is the common sense approach, right? For every company that weasels a way out, somebody else has got to pay more. And oh, by the way,
all right,
it's a massive advantage for that company if they're at least if you don't let them buy other places. If they just would, the people who are doing this stuff, if the drug companies that in my mind cheated and brought their taxes overseas and paid 5% for 20 years and everybody else paying 30, if they just kept the money there and gave dividends out, you'd say, all right, maybe they won the game. But they didn't. They bought up other kinds of other companies. Now we have these colossus places. And the reason why that they were able to do that is because we couldn't compete on a sales price. I mean, if Merck is overseas and Kevin and Chief Drug Company is in wherever, Battle Creek or someplace, and we're paying 30 cents on a buck and they're paying 5 cents, and all of a sudden there's a bidding war for, you know, for Weber's aspirin company. Guess who wins? Right? So it goes a lot deeper than just me paying more because Merck isn't paying their fair share. Now all of a sudden Merck's twice as big as me, and maybe they're coming after me, right?
Yeah, and that is the problem, is that any, you know, those who can afford the international setup and everything that goes with it, and those who can afford the best accountants, they do fine by this. So, it, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we do, and we do it in the name of the little guy. We're gonna finally get the big guy, and so the little guy doesn't have the burden. And in fact, all we do is the big guys are the ones who know who are able to work around it, and the little guys are not.
But we are just, I mean, regardless,
it's one of the great fallacies of policies on this stuff.
But you know, get back to politics for a second, and I'm not telling people how to vote or not vote because I don't know how to vote. But if the thing about what people should understand, in my opinion, okay, you understand my opinion. We've had Biden in office now for 6 months. Instead of, I mean, to a lot of people, it's a relief we're not hearing some stupid tweet every day. Don't look at the differences. Look at the similarities. And the similarities are the people that are doing stuff. The bigger people that have the power have just as much power in Biden as they did under Trump. Maybe more. I mean, the thought of Kevin, one of our listeners, buying a laptop, and like Audrey just did, and she couldn't download DuckDuckGo because she kept getting blocked by Microsoft, or you can't download what other competing things she was trying to do, and she had to take it to somebody who really knew how to do it, where they could do a different Windows 11. I mean, I more way over my pay grade. The bottom line is, somebody should walk in with 15 sets of handcuffs into the Microsoft boardroom, slap one down on the table, and look at this. Here's the Clayton Act. Here's the Sherman Act. This is illegal. This is illegal. This is illegal. By the way, pass those around and put them on, and let's walk out of here. And until somebody has the stones to do that, Trump, for all his bazooness, he didn't, and Biden sure doesn't, and they know it. And and until somebody's willing to do that, Kevin, you know what? We're just going to keep going along, and hopefully it's not a revolution at the end. Or am I being too bad on a day before our nation's birthday?
No, I don't think you're being too bad.
But I mean, am I right? Until somebody's willing,
for a change, you're not being too bad. I'm agreeing with you.
Until somebody's willing to actually say, this is outrageous, and oh, by the way, it's a felony, and oh, by the way, you're the felon, what's the point? What are we doing? Just jaw-jagging. That's all we're doing. Right? The Commerce Secretary yesterday.
It is what we do.
Yeah.
It's what we do well, though, you got to admit.
Or we do very well. Anyway,
a lot of people are saying they don't like how
everybody's
got to
be good at something, man. Everybody's got to, you know, even the Cubs are going to be good at something. I'm not sure what.
Oh God!
Lately, they aren't good at anything.
They're tough to watch. And now we just had to put what's his name Duffy's another 3-4 weeks.
It's really hard to lose when you go up 7-0. But they found a way not only to lose by 8 runs.
Well, one of my favorite players of the last decade is Jake Arrieta. Is he just toast?
I think he is, yes.
I think he's at the stage in his career where, and I remember this from my softball days, he's at the stage of his career where every once in a while you are that guy that you used to be. And a lot of times, and then there's also a lot of times when you ain't anywhere close to that person.
Yeah, you're.
And I think that's really what you're looking at with Arrieta. He has it in him to have the occasional, you know, the occasional great game, and he has it in him to go out there and, you know, hold the opposition to 4 runs and give you a chance to win. But every once in a while, he's going to get rocked.
Well, I think in fairness, when you looked at, I read this article a long, long time ago when Ryan Sandberg was younger. I mean, he was in the prime of his career, and they were talking about how good those kind of guys are. You know, the Sandbergs, the Bankses, the Sanos, the Billy Williams, and a million other guys on other teams. They said they come in and they're paying a 162-game season that on their medium to crummiest day, they're still better than the guy on the bench. That's how good they are. That they're going to have the day where they hit the 2 home runs and they look like a god out there. But even on their regular, when they feel like crap, They're going to field their position. They're at least going to hit the ball hard somewhere, and even if the guy might catch it, they go for four. There's still going to be a four. I mean, how good people have to be good in the NBA, in anything, in the NBA, the NHL. I mean, it's
spectacular. Professional sports. I agree with you, but I will mention two things. One, in baseball, we actually have a statistic called wins above replacement. And that measures you against the average schmuck. You know, how do you do versus the quote replacement player? But forgetting that for a minute, also remember one of the biggest differences in performance of an athlete is really gets down to concentration. Are you able to have the level of precision, the level of concentration that you need on every single pitch? As a pitcher on every single play, or do you have that occasional lapse where you just didn't think it through, or you're not ready, or that and that ability to do that every single play, every single pitch, every single free throw you take, whatever it is, to maintain that level of concentration. Is what really makes people into outstanding professional athletes.
Funny you should mention that.
A lot of people with the talent. There aren't nearly as many people with that ability.
Funny you should mention that. They were interviewing somebody about Pete Rose, and you know, Pete has pluses and minuses, obviously. But somebody said, "What impressed you the most about Pete Rose?" He said, "Because it didn't matter what was going on. Every time he went to the plate was like a war." Cincinnati could be winning 10-2, and the guy was already 3-for-4, and on his fifth at bat, it was so important for him to get a hit. And most people would say, "Let me pop one up here on the first pitch and get to the bar." But he said he never was like that.
I sat with Pete last year in a sports book in Vegas. Weird. And we were watching a random baseball game. I think it was like the Orioles versus the Blue Jays. Completely random regular season baseball game. And a guy made a diving catch, and the sports book, you know, the people that were watching kind of stood up and cheered, you know, that type of thing, because it was an awesome catch. And Pete goes, "Watch the replay of this." He goes, "That was not a good catch." And the guy that was sitting next to him, and I was sitting like the next to that guy, was like, "What are you talking about, Pete?" He goes, "The guy got a terrible jump on the ball, and he was lucky that he had the athletic ability to go catch it." He goes, "He got a terrible read on the ball." Sure enough, they showed the replay. Off the bat, the guy took one step in the wrong direction and then made up for it. And Pete caught that live. He still has the eye for the game and knows exactly. It was unbelievable. 75-year-old Pete Rose, however old he is. The guy is just still a baseball
maniac.
So
he made the great, what you're saying is he made the great catch because he got the crappy jump.
Exactly. And Pete was like a good outfielder is standing underneath that ball. It was awesome.
Well, then again, if it was us.
Jimmy Pearsall used to talk about that all the time, too.
Well, Jimmy Pearsall was one of the best.
He was a great outfielder, yeah.
Who's
so anyway, that's what it takes, is really an incredible amount of mental discipline, and too many guys in the Cubs don't have that.
No. S&P Futures up 4, and S&P Futures up 51. Kevin, have a great weekend, buddy. Talk to you on Wednesday. I'll probably talk to you this weekend. But we'll talk Wednesday for sure, and we'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks, Mr. Kyle Denninger, and we get the numbers here in a minute. Oh, actually in a half hour.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Right.
There's something happening here.
Blowing up by Stocks and Jocks. SP Futures up 4. NASDAQ Futures up 55. I just got this big tweet here. This big tweet that says, Branson to beat Bezos into space. Flash Denninger to beat Branson into space. Carl, how much is this costing you to go to beat those guys?
Well, you know, going into space is not the hard part.
It's coming back down, hey? Healthy?
No, you will. I mean, you know, you'll probably come back down. The question is whether or not you'll still be breathing.
Well, these guys, when they say space, they're not entering orbit. They're just going up high and coming down, right? They're like the first.
You know, there's all sorts of, you know, well, let's rules lawyer this thing and figure out how we can claim that we did this without actually doing it, right?
I mean,
from my point of view, suborbital flight hasn't been hard for a very long time. In fact, you know, our military does it somewhat regularly. I mean, you know, if you happen to be lucky enough to fly in an SR-71 or, you know, something like that, right?
Yeah.
So, question is, can you actually achieve the, you know, breaking free of the Earth's gravity well, which in order to, you know, the first level of that is achieving orbit. The second one, of course, is to actually leave orbit and manage to get back. And there's all sorts of problems with doing the first, and there's a much larger set of ones doing the second, the most important of which is you have to carry all the reaction mass with you.
You have to do what?
You have to carry the reaction mass, the fuel.
Yeah.
Okay, and the problem, you know, this is the challenge that we had to face and solve in order to be able to go to the moon, because while getting there is not really, I mean, from a technical point of view, it's not really all that hard. The hard part is, having done so, managing to carry enough fuel to get there and get back and not die is extremely difficult, and one of the reasons that we had such a challenge with it is that you can't carry enough fuel to manage to get back into Earth orbit after you have gotten off the moon.
Well, the more than we need to go into, but for those that don't know, I know Carl does and knows more about it than me, but there is no ability when you leave Earth's orbit. You need, what's it, 22,000 miles an hour to get out of the orbit. And then you can pretty much keep going to the end of space. It might take you a bazillion years, but there's no way on Earth that the Apollo capsule had enough gas in it to turn around on its own. Right?
And the same problem exists if you want to go somewhere like Mars. Okay?
Right.
In that the amount of fuel that you need has to be lifted out of the Earth's gravity well. You have to lift it off the surface of the planet here. And then and every pound of fuel that you lift off the surface of the planet, you must obviously lift. So the problem becomes more difficult the more of it you want to take, right? Because you need more thrust in order to get it off the rock in the first place.
Right. Well, but so what you do is...
It gets very complicated when you start running the numbers on this.
And this is when guys are doing this on slide rule. So when you, for those that don't know, when you go to the moon, the idea is you enter the moon's orbit, and then you come out. You either can slingshot your way around where the moon gives you a push back this way, or if you're actually in orbit up there, you have enough gas to get you out of the moon's orbit, which is a hell of a lot less than you need to get out of ours. And so that sends you back to Earth, and then at some point the Earth's gravity picks you up and takes you the rest of the way. But if you head to the moon and you miss the moon, you just keep going. You don't have enough gas to stop and turn around and come back, right?
Oh yeah, no, you're done. And then the other problem, and the one of the things that made Apollo so challenging, was that you cannot carry, when you're coming back to the Earth, having done your thing there, you are carrying so much velocity that you cannot slow down. You can't carry enough fuel to slow down and get back into Earth orbit. So this is the reason that we actually had to design a computer that could do this, because there was no way for a human being to accurately hit the reentry corridor. And since you don't have enough fuel to come back into Earth orbit, you get one shot at this. You have to use the Earth's atmosphere to slow you down and ultimately, you know, end up back on this rock.
Well, but if you come in too shallow, you bounce off. You come in too shallow, you bounce off and head back into space. If you come in too steep, you burn up.
Yeah, you burn up. Right, and the corridor is about a half a degree wide.
Right. Yeah, it's incredibly small in a considering what you're aiming at, a planet.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously it gets bigger the closer you get, right?
Well, but then that's why you have those tiles on the thing that can take this incredible amount of heat.
It's not, right, but the thing is that there's, you know, what people don't understand, and when you start doing the math on this, and it's a math problem when you get down to it, is that, you know, people talk about, well, you know, so-and-so is going to, you know, we're going to have this company's going to go to orbit, this company's... No, you're not actually going to space. There's... The so-called technical definition is when you get high enough, there is so little atmosphere that they consider that space. Okay, the sky does not look blue; it looks black, right?
Well, when Jaeger and those guys were doing when they were doing the speed work using like the X-16 and all those kind of things, they were going as high as these guys are probably going to go, right?
Oh yeah, and the thing is, that's not that, you know. All that really is, when you get down to it, is the challenge of managing to keep the atmosphere that you have inside the spacecraft in the spacecraft.
Well, I mean, I don't know if anybody who's a listener, I mean, I'm not sure, but if you went out to these planes that they use, if you went and saw them on the runway, they're all leaking fuel all over the place. And you'd sit there and go, I'm not driving in that thing. But the reason why is because as you go up, the thing gets hotter and hotter and expands. So, as you go up, it tightens up, but you're leaking as you go, right? Isn't it? I mean, it's really screwed up. If you saw one of those things, you wouldn't go anywhere with it. I mean, you and I wouldn't start that thing up.
Yeah, there's all sorts of sort of bizarre things that go into, you know, especially the earlier stuff. I mean, now we consider it to be a little more routine, but I don't know how routine it really is. I mean, it, as long as you're within the Earth's gravity well, then you are inevitably going to end up back here, whether you like it or not. You may not like the way that you end up back here, but you're going to end up back here. If you really want to call it space, you need to go somewhere where that's not going to be true anymore.
Well, Carl, the person who said there are no routine landings and there are no routine deliveries of a baby is probably very accurate.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly... I don't know. There's an awful lot of you know, one-upsmanship and, you know, hey, we did it. But, I mean, the technical reality of getting to that sort of an altitude, but still bound to the Earth's gravity is but, okay, I mean, you know, if people want to pay a lot of money to go see it, that's probably kind of cool. But I just don't see it as being all of that, you know, all that impressive.
I would have liked to have flown on the Concorde, though.
Well, yeah, that would be, you know, that's although supposedly there is some group that's working on another supersonic commercial transport.
Yeah, but nobody, unless you're a real big shot, nobody wants to pay for that. It was just too expensive. I mean,
that's the other problem is that, you know, when you, the faster you want to go, the more fuel it takes, and therefore the more money it costs, right?
Well, I'm going to say, Carl, when I had my first major trip for Allied Van Lines way, way back in the day, I flew from here to San Francisco because we had to go to meet some agents out there, and I was on a DC-8, and I'm going to say that was 1977. I'll bet I've never been on a flight that was faster than that flight. And how many years later is it? Because the planes now go slower, right? Because they're a little more fuel efficient. They don't use the jet engines. They use these turbojets, and I mean, it's better for the world and better for everybody. But you're not. I bet those planes are faster than ones now, or at least as fast.
Some of the earlier commercial aircraft got awfully close to Mach Buffett. So, I mean, you know, once you get to that point, unless you're designed for it, you would be crazy to attempt to go through that. You know, through that, even if you had the thrust to do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I bet someone probably could, but you're right, you don't want to. But we were talking earlier, Carl, because obviously we're going to talk about these labor numbers, and I'm trying to figure out, as I'm looking at these disparate numbers here, the ones that they're still giving us, and of course I had a little position for me and my people, where it looks to me this inflation thing was heating up, and I actually thought this 10-year might actually start to go up, because it, I can't imagine people still putting money in 10-year for 1.5%, but they are. Somebody is. I suspect a lot of it's ending up at the Fed, but I don't, you know, they're not giving me that number. But I'm listening to our buddy Powell talk, and on the last 2 weeks, when the guy is in front of Congress adamantly saying he's going to stick with his $130 billion a month asset purchase program, and now in the last two weeks, it's 150. And they've driven, well, certainly the TLT from 141 to 145. And you say, how could bonds be going up and rates going down when everybody's doing nothing but talking about inflation? Anybody who gave anybody their money for 10 years at 1.5% has got to be a moron times five. And yet we're driving the rates going down, not up. Now you look at the Federal Reserve balance sheet, and sure enough, that's why it's going down. They're pouring twice as much money in as they say they're going to. What's going on, Carol? What is going on? I cannot.
Well, you know what's going on is that you have an exponential cycle, and like all exponential cycles, it's extremely destructive and it's very hard to break. So, you know, I mean, if you look at the process that people undergo when they get fat, it starts by eating too many potato chips and seed oils and carbohydrates. I mean, that's how it starts. And what you do by doing that is destroy the regulatory mechanism that every single animal that inhabits this planet has. And as a result, you eat when you're not actually hungry. And once you've done that, you now have more body mass. Your increased body mass requires more energy. And therefore, you would not continue to gain weight, you'd lose it, except for the fact that you continue to do this, okay? Because, you know, a larger body requires more fuel.
Well, yeah.
But the thing is that after a relatively short period of time, you start thinking that this is, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with this, totally normal. It's not, but in order to break that cycle, you have to stop doing the stupid thing. And unfortunately, in this case, what the stupid thing is we're spending money that we did not tax first at the government level. In order to stop doing that, it was not, you're not going to like what happens, okay? Because you either have to stop spending the money, you have to start taxing a whole lot more. And the reality is that we continue to think that there's nothing wrong, because, you know, here I am sitting, you know, with a cell phone in my hand talking to you, and you know, the sun's up and looks like everything's fine. The truth of the matter, though, is that the cost of the cost of the beer at the local pub went up by another 50 cents, and the cost of the hamburger that you're going to eat, or the steak or whatever over the 4th of July has gone up substantially. The cost of a gallon of gasoline has gone up, and by the way, all the health care that you are consuming is, you know, five times as expensive as it should be. And why is that? Because we keep doing this stupid thing.
Well, one of the interesting things about the market going up, and say individual stocks, I mean, I don't necessarily think that some of the stocks in the market, it reminds me a lot of 99, where the stocks that I traded in the OEX, the top 100 stocks, I don't know if they ever got that overvalued. Carl, I mean, the S&P came down, you know, some percentage, 15-20 corrected, but the QQQs, which was the NASDAQ stuff, went from, what, 120 to 20? You know, so, I mean, it was really located. I mean, Cisco went from 60 to 6, that kind
right.
of thing. So, I mean, it was really in that area. But I think when the monetary system here, I'm not going to go into it, we got a couple of minutes before the numbers come out, but just give like a little bit of a primer. To a certain extent, the Fed, their job is to control the money supply, okay, which is much more difficult than people. Then if they just did their job, it's not easy, because I mean, I've said this before, but if Carl all of a sudden drops $1 million in the bank that he had underneath his mattress, okay, now I'm going to say, well, I don't even know what the reserve requirements are, but say they used to be 20%. The bank can now lend me 80% of what Carl just put in there, all right? So they're going to lend me $800,000. Well, I'm going to put that $800,000 back in the bank. Then they can then lend $640 to Maddie Weber, puts it back in the bank. So now the amount of money in the system is now $1 million that Carl put in there, plus $800, plus $640. So we have a system here, just the normal banking day-to-day loaning of money or not loaning or paying back or foreclosing messes with the money supply because we can create it ourselves, the banking system does. So when the Fed starts, you know, pouring money in, buying stuff on top of it, they can make it go up pretty darn fast, which is what they are. Of course, they're not telling us, but they are. And their job is to see when the going is good, the economy is good, an awful lot of people are borrowing money in those days from the bank, and they would put the money back in. So the money supply naturally goes up on its own, right, Carl? In the same way, so the Fed has to, quote, retard that by selling securities and pulling money out of the system to keep that rate at a 3% growth or 3.5%, whatever the hell they're trying to do in normal times. And same way on the way down. All of a sudden, you know, Carl's hot dog stand doesn't work out so good. Either sells it and gives the 640 back to the bank or something, but the money supply can also contract. Now, the new phenomenon here, Carl, and nobody ever even has a paper on it that I know of, is stocks that go flying up. That stock, unless it's a total, you know, piece of crap, which some bank says no to, but which is very rare. If you take an AMC, it's trading $5, and all of a sudden it's trading $50. Well, now you can borrow $25 on that 50, where you used to be able to borrow $250 on the 5, right, Carl?
Right.
So actually, in a rising stock market, if it's dramatic enough, can really impact your monetary base in terms of borrowing. Because if all of a sudden AMC, I've got 1,000 shares of it, we don't do a lot of this here, but we could. I mean, we certainly have the, through RBC, I mean, but our clientele is not into this. But clearly there are people that have 1,000 shares of AMC at $5, and the minute it gets to 50, say, send me $25,000, I'm buying a house or something, or I'm speculating on a boat or a trading card. I mean, we don't have a lot, I mean, we could very rarely get that here, but, firms do that. Well, now all of a sudden you got $25,000 worth of buying power, right? Right, Carl? That came out of nowhere.
Well, that's the problem, is that there is a exponential sort of multiplication factor that comes from this sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And people, you know, the problem is the same sort of exponential multiplication factor occurs on the other side.
Right. Well, the future,
so,
the future is...
Yeah, so when, you know, so that now what you have is, okay, we did this, we really sort of kind of like it, it feels sort of good, right? Okay, how do we keep doing it? Because you did it, it's done. Now we'd like to see more of that because we like the way it feels.
You're quoting Milton Friedman, nothing is better than the first few stages of inflation. It feels so good. It's like the first
yeah
three,
well
like
that's,
the first
always,
three
that's
years.
How it always is that, you know, when you start with that, everybody thinks that life is wonderful and beautiful and nothing bad is going to happen and da 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 da.
Yeah, well, and if it was even across the board, actually nobody care, Carl, if there was adjustments on everything. If everybody had an inflation adjuster in their salary, if everybody had an inflation adjuster on the hamburger was $7 yesterday. By the way, the inflation is 0.001% since yesterday. It's now 7.01. You know, nobody cared if you got a raise of the same magnitude, but it's never that way. And I think this time, Carl, it is much more dangerous than the last time, because we're talking about, you know, again, we're a tale of two people in this. In this country, it used to be three, upper, middle, and lower. Now it's, I think, just two, which is upper and lower, with very few people in the middle. I think if you take a group of people that have had essentially a 20% raise in 20 years, and you start dropping a 10% inflation on them every year, I mean, I don't know what revolutions are caused by, but it's got to be one of them. I mean, you can't. The person that was making $31,000 in 2000 is now making $37,000. you try and drop, you know, the next 2 years, 20% inflation. I mean, what are you doing to them? You might as well eviscerate them. I mean,
well, yeah, and I think the other thing that you have to keep in mind is that there's a serious second problem with that, which is that, you know, the statement you made is absolutely true, that if it was completely even, nobody would care. The problem is, it never is, number one. And secondly, there are people that no matter how you try to make it even, you will fail because, for example, there are people who are not working anymore. What do you do with them?
Yeah.
What do you do with the people? What do you do with the people who are living on their retirement savings? What do you do with the people who are disabled? Okay, and cannot work. How is it that you could ever possibly not end up screwing somebody?
Well, I will answer that. Last time, the retirement people had their money in the bank. If the inflation rate was 10, they were getting 12 on their passbook. So they were getting inflation plus interest. So the retired people didn't get hurt last time. This time, unless you...
Well, yeah, except this time you've got the inflation and what's your passbook paying?
Zero, yeah.
So zero, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That last time, the fixed income people, or the people with cash, the risk-free rate went up to insulate those people.
Right.
Where this time that is absolutely not happening, and it doesn't look like it's ever going to happen.
That's the thing is that, and what you have is that, you know, so you allegedly have inflation, but you also have the government deliberately clamping the response to that. Oh, by the way, 850.
850. So that's, we were what, 706 was the number?
We got 850 is the number for this month.
All right, well, let's go to break, and when we come back, we'll talk all about S&P futures up 6, running up a little bit on this. NASDAQ futures up 50. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 1050. Honestly, after the job report, 850,000 jobs in June. Although in a second, I'm going to show you the household survey, which doesn't say that at all, which is weird. It's a versus 706 estimate. They were saying that unemployment rate was going down to 5.6. It actually went up a tick to 5.9. So we'll cover that in a second. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 58.4%. The FTSE up 5. I call that flat. Kick around down 1. Call that flat. Over in Asia, we got mainland China getting whacked, but Nikkei is actually up 76 points, 0.2. Shanghai down 7. It's 2%. Hang Seng down 517. It's 1.8%. The whack over there. Wave review yesterday, the Dow was up 131, S&P up 22, NASDAQ up 18. Bonds, this is after the number. 10-year is going down, not up, we're not sure why that is. 1.42, that's as low as we've seen it in a while. Bund, minus 0.23 again, going more negative. Japan unchanged at 0.04 positive. Oil down 34 cents, actually ducked below 75 hours since our last report, 75.89. Brent down 35 cents, 75.49. Again, that spread's only 60 cents, so we're going to ask Carl about that when we come back. Natural gas down 5 cents, 3.61. RBOB unchanged at 2.25. Gold is up 470, 1781 was up 10 before the number. Silver up 15 cents, 26.25. Copper up 2 cents, 4.26. And last but not least, our Bitcoin up 102 to 33,117, kind of right in the middle of its recent range. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Still off to a very good start here on a Friday morning. No significant delays on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower and Stevenson looking good. A little bit of slowdown near Midway on the Stevenson, but nothing out of the ordinary there. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford all quiet. Same for Lakeshore Drive. Off the expressways, it looks like we have a crash at Route 83, which is Kingery Highway, on the northbound side at Butterfield out in the western suburbs. And then just across the Indiana border, Klein Avenue on the southbound side between Industrial Highway Exit 6 and Gary Avenue is closed due to emergency road repairs. Apparently the left lane is closed and the right lane is closed due to that construction. So the center lane is the only thing open there on Klein Avenue on the Indiana side of the border. But everything else all quiet. Weather today, another very mild day before we heat up.
So both sides of the bridge are falling down, but as long as you stay in the middle, you're okay?
Apparently, yeah. that's a good point. Very mild today, Chief. We're going to heat up tomorrow. It will be in the mid to upper 80s tomorrow and Sunday. But today, partly cloudy skies and a high of just 70 with a breeze. So it'll be chilly, sweatshirt weather out there, but very nice and lots of sunshine. Right now it's clear and 62 going up to a windy high of 70.
I hope you're playing some golf.
I am actually playing golf at 9:30 this morning down at one of the islands. The blue one.
The public course, it's nice. It's pretty decent.
It's decent. I've played there a couple times. It's okay. My brother loves it because he loves the bar there.
Well, they make a fortune on the video machines there.
They have a great bar to the point where people sitting at the bar have never played golf. They just go to the golf course to go to the bar.
And play the video.
And play the video. Yeah. Yes, exactly. But we're playing there at 9:30, so I'll be out there shortly. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine and a high of 106. Right now it's clear and 89. In sports, White Sox beat the Twins 8-5. Cubs were off. They're at Cincinnati tonight. That's a 6:10 first pitch. Diamondbacks got a rare win. They beat the Giants 5-3. Chief.
I played there with a group that had a bunch of sheriff's deputies in it. And all these guys did were on the phone the whole time with their politics. And they're missing holes or sitting in the cart talking to people. I'm like, what kind of deal is that?
Not fun.
No, it was weird. Especially when they were in a scramble and the other guy was like really bad. So.
Well, last summer, my boss was like, hey, next week, why don't we, me, him, and two other guys on our team, let's go play golf. Take the Friday. You don't have to take vacation day or anything. We'll go play golf. And I was like, that sounds awesome. So we go out there, and then by the third hole, his boss starts calling him, basically we were all on the phone the entire golf outing. And it was the most unenjoyable golf ever. And obviously you start playing poorly. Everyone's on the phone thinking about something else. And then you go hit the ball and you shank it. And it's like, what are we doing out here?
Well, one of my buddies who dragged me out there, it's supposed to be a scramble, right? Well, he goes up to the tee first and he whacks one. It's a par three. He whacks one the wrong way. And I'm thinking he must be getting rid of crummy balls in his bag. He takes out another one. I said, what are you doing? You're hitting practice balls? He goes, No, I'm hitting it to green. I said, the green's the other way.
I've never seen that.
I've never seen anybody do that. He goes, really? He goes,
How many beers did you guys had at this point?
We didn't have any. It was like, I never drink when I'm golfing. I never got in that habit. I don't know why, but I like to afterward. But
oh, I enjoy it. You got to find your perfect equilibrium where you're not drunk, but you have a nice little buzz that takes the edge off, and then you play well.
I used to be somewhat of a big hitter, and I'm thinking, if I ever launch one the wrong way because I had too many beers and bonked somebody in the head, I'd never forgive myself. So I always thought bowling was a great drinking game. No matter what you do, the worst you could do is drop it on your own toe. Anyway, so Carl, I'm telling you what I'm reading from. I know you're going to tell me I'm looking at the wrong one. I'm looking at the one that most people, not unlike you, household data, historical A1 employment status of the civilian population. But these guys are coming up with 860. I have never seen a flatter month like this in my life. Amount of people in the labor force up 50,000. Amount of people working, I got them up. I got them up 500 from last month, which is a lot. And I've got the amount of people not doing anything is up 100,000, and I got the amount of people unemployed. So I got roughly 500 is the number on this thing, and with the unemployment rate at 5.8. But obviously the other survey shows more, right? More people going.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's some really weird data in this household table. In the non-adjusted side, I'm not exactly sure what I'm looking at here at this point, to tell you the truth. I mean, I dug down in there and kind of peeled my wig back a bit. So I'm going to have to do a little, a little digging around, see where this is all coming from. But this is why I say this is really strange. So just to give you a little context on that. So the employed number is up about 500. The employment population ratio is up 2 ticks, 58.3 over 58.1, which, I mean, that's positive. I mean, you want that number, you want that number to go that way. However, the unemployed number is 6.1 from 5.5 last month. It's up by a million, almost. Well, actually a little more than a million. That one doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And the not in labor force number is down by the same 500, roughly, that you had that showed up in the employed number. So these just kind of sort of don't make a lot of sense. And then you got about 200,000 people who want a job that are fewer. Okay, so those are people who got employed, who wanted a job, and now they'd have one.
I was looking at this thing blinked out on me. It reverted back to last month's report. Now I'm looking at this month's. The reason why I said it was so flat, these guys have the amount of more people working, according to this, is actually down 18,000. It's got the unemployed.
Yeah, I'm just looking at this going, what is really going on here in this data? Because I need to dig around and try to figure out where this is coming from, because to me, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, you've got numbers that are moving in opposite directions that usually move in synchronicity, and they're not this time.
Well, I'm saying this one, and I know this is the adjusted, which you always say, only to chomps like me, you look at the adjusted numbers, but if you look at the adjusted numbers, I've never seen anything like this, Carl. They got the amount of people working actually down 18,000. They got the amount of people unemployed up 170,000. That's why the unemployment uptick. And they've got the people who,
wait a minute. I look at the unadjusted numbers and I just kind of go, what?
Well, now, do you have more people unemployed on the unadjusted? Because the adjusted, they do.
On the unemployed number, I have a million more people that are unemployed.
Well, the difference is 9,000,003 versus 9,000,048. So it's up 170,000. I got the amount of people that we don't know what they're doing. 100,000,275 now is 100,000,253. So it's almost the exact number.
So yeah, this is real strange. And I mean, on the unemployed line from May to June, it was 8,829. Now it's 9,883. That's a million people.
Yeah, that's wow.
And I'm like, you know, I'm and yet on the not in labor force number, I, you know, last month we were at 100,603 and now we're at 99,172. Well, that's, you know, that's 500, right? So, I mean, I'm looking at this going, huh? What?
Well, it seems to me that what we're seeing is a lot of people, more than they're telling us, are getting laid off in essentially the middle salary jobs, and the amount of help wanted signs are at the low end is what I'm anecdotally seeing, but that's not statistics. That's just me looking. Am I right or wrong? I've never seen the unemployment number go up this much.
It's the only one. So here's the other interest. So, you know, the other table I look at that I consider to kind of be a health of the job market indicator is the educational attainment from a standpoint of, you know, where are people and where are the jobs actually showing up, right? Because, I mean, if we have a bunch of people flipping burgers at McDonald's, yeah, okay, they have a job. But does that really do anything from an economic perspective that's good? And I think there's a clean argument to be made that maybe not so much. And yet what you have here in a participation rate is the people with less than a high school diploma went from 43.4 last month to 44.8, and yet the high school graduates are down a tick. The people with associates, with some college, is down a tick. And oh, by the way, people with bachelor's degrees is down four ticks. Now, that's a big number. So there were almost 500,000 people who allegedly got tossed out, if you will. And yet on the employment population ratio, This number's pretty ugly, all right? We lost 900,000 bachelor's degree holders' jobs last month.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing is
I mean, we went from 58,715, okay, 58,715 to 57,872 this month. That's a huge drop.
I think a lot of people are not being, who are maybe working for home, are not being invited back as these places open up.
Well, it's not that they're not being, they're actually being fired.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I was saying that nicely.
Yeah, well, I mean, the employment population ratio in that group of people went from 70.1 last month to 69.2. That is, I mean, that's off the cliff.
Kyle, you know who you're sounding like? You're sounding like a guy I knew at Pullman named Stan Bartnizak. Stan is the nicest guy. He was head of all the cost accounting areas. And he had some guy comes in and was interviewing with him. And he says, well, where was your last job? And the guy says, well, I was RIFT. And he goes, what does that mean?
Yeah, reduction in force.
And then the next time he goes through and he says, okay, so then they said they didn't, and the guy goes, no, I was, then he said, what about the place before? He said, well, I was downsized, or they downsized me. And finally Stan looks at him and says, you got bleep canned.
Yeah.
Well, what is this other stuff? You got bleep canned. What's the matter with you? Just say it. It's no big deal. I'm hiring you anyway.
But the thing is that, I mean, one of the things that I've pointed out is that a lot of these job changes for the last several years, and I know I've said this on the show a bunch of times, the gains, the really good gains, and the losses when they came, were all in the people on the lower end of the strata, right? But now what we're seeing here, and frankly, I don't quite understand why this is happening in the economy right now, but this is what the data says. The data says that the people who gained last month were all people who did not even, they hadn't even finished high school yet. Right, that's summer employment. That happens every year, right? We hire a bunch of kids to work at the theme parks and stuff. Okay, fine. Except that what we have seen, what we have now, is a loss in employment among people who have some college education or have an associate's, so basically 2 years or less, and in a really large drop in degreed professionals.
That's kind of what I'm what I'm feeling, but I'll run this one by you. The increase in the unemployed people, I'm going to guess, again, this is just a guess, I'm asking the expert, that would be you, that in December, I read once that said if nobody got hired in December, was dead flat even with November, that the adjustment would show 250,000 people, or 220, less hired, because that's how big the December adjustment is for Christmas. And I'm going to guess, if that's true, and it's probably not as true anymore, but that June has got a huge adjustment to the upside, which people are supposed to be getting jobs in June for landscaping companies and flower companies and you name it. And this 100 and some thousand people, 170,000 people that are piling into the unemployed number here is kind of an adjustment. I mean, I'm hoping that's the case.
No, I don't think so. And I'll tell you why, because this educational attainment table has adjusted columns, which I do not normally use, okay? But I'm looking at the table right now, and it is there. I mean, you've got four ticks of job loss among bachelor's degree holders on the adjusted side.
Well, what's causing
nine
that?
Nine ticks on the unadjusted.
That is
a crazy decrease.
I was, I don't know if you were listening earlier, I was talking to Kevin about the PPP stuff. Do you think that these people, regular people going to work doing a job, do you think they were held on just because people were getting government money to pay them and now they're gone?
I think there's a very real possibility, but I'll tell you what. The idea that 800,000 bachelor's degree holders got fired last month ought to scare anybody if you think this economy is sound.
Well, one of your favorite topics, again, I was regaling Kevin with listening, and of course I should remember these people when I talk about them. I think she wasn't the Commerce Secretary. I think she was the head of the Chamber of Commerce, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and they were dancing around this China issue, and the British guy on CNBC, I think, is really good. And he was kind of grilling her, well, what about, he didn't really say slave labor, but he said, well, what about human rights issues, and what about this? And she launched in this huge thing about how concerned they are about him, and President Biden brought him up at the G7. I went through this huge rant, which I won't do again, regarding that everybody couldn't stand Trump because all he did was lie. Well, this lady, very bright, brilliant, if she sat across from me, you'd probably be stunned at how smart she was, is doing the same thing. In other words, they're not doing anything. I mean, and then a year from now, if there's another G7, Joe might bring it up again. And, hey, remember we talked about the Chinese last year? What should we do this year? Well, we'll wait till next year. I mean, the bottom line is they're doing nothing, right? And business is more wide open with China than it ever has been, regardless of what they're doing. And regardless, you know, how many aircraft carriers are making and submarines or whatever they're doing. I mean, we don't care, because all we care about is getting something cheaper from China. I mean, and that's, our population has spoken, and they're being heeded by the government, which is what government does. When the population does speak, and government does what they want them to do, good or bad. I mean, they don't really lead, they follow in most cases. And so now that's where we're at with this. So I'm wondering if maybe it's what you're always talking about is actually getting worse. And we're even getting more, as Lou says, fascist. Only a few companies in every industry with their nose up the ass of government, which is what our economy is looking like in a lot of areas.
I don't know. I mean, this internal data is, I don't think I've seen anything this bad since like the depths of the, you know, of the 08 crash.
Yeah, it's really worse than the COVID.
This is horrible. I mean, I don't know how anybody can look at this and say, oh yeah, there's no problem here, everything's fine. Well, I want some of whatever you're smoking, because I don't see anything good here.
Why, I guess my question is, why June? I mean, we've sort of been seeing this as somewhat of a trend where, you know, your middle-aged middle managers, well, even look at the Tribune, for God's sake, Carl. The paper's got nothing in it. They still try and charge you. Of course, if you get the online version, you can get the Sunday paper for next to nothing. But if you actually were, you know, dumb enough to go buy the darn thing at the airport or someplace, it's $5.75 for the newspaper. I mean,
right.
But there's nothing in it. And you might get it because John Cass is in there and this other guy, Rosenthal, writes for sports. Well, they're both taking the package. How does a newspaper give a package to their writers? I mean, they got, that's all they have. What else they got? What am I missing here?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, the idea that we continue to shift jobs into the lower, you know, what we've seen is we've seen the growth in the lower paying, the lower educational attainment area. Okay, I mean, that's been going on for years. And I've been commenting on it that's a horrible shift. That's not what you want. You want the other side, right? Obviously. But now they're actually firing people that have degrees.
Yeah.
Well, right. And I mean, short of a hardcore recession, that just typically does not happen. I mean, yeah, you lose a tick here and there, but, you know, but that sort of a thing, I mean, an 8-9 tick, holy mother. I mean, you're talking about, you know, nearly a million people with degrees that literally got canned last month.
I got to believe it has something to do with this PPP.
It's got to be. It has to be related to this, all the money that has been thrown around, and now it's gone.
Well, you know what's interesting, Carl, is I don't know. I'm sure it always was this way, but maybe because of social media and so forth, I see people's mentality being shaped in, influenced and shaped, not necessarily brainwashed. I guess that's a too strong of a term. But if you listen to people's conversation, if you actually pin them down to it, and say, well, gee, Carl's son or daughter just got laid off from a job. It's 75 grand. They can't find another job. They're in unemployment or they're struggling. Well, there's all kinds of jobs available. What would be the reaction you get? What's the matter? Nobody can hire anybody. Without even thinking it, that person, male, female, whatever the hell they are, or now I guess you can be, what state now says that, you don't have to put, or the Biden administration says you don't have to put your sex on your passport. You can choose your sex. It doesn't have to match your birth certificate. Anyway,
yeah, I'm not quite so sure what that's what that about, does. But yeah, I saw that the other day.
They actually think, I mean, without saying it, I'm sure if they thought about it, they wouldn't think that way. But by their facial expression, by their body language, and by their verbiage, they actually think, well, you should just go get one of the jobs at Menards for $10 an hour or $12. And everything will be okay. Maybe you didn't deserve the 75 grand marketing job in the first place. And by the way, last time I was at Menards, I couldn't get anybody to help me, and maybe next time I will. I mean, it's astounding what people think other people should do to serve them, right? I mean, but if you actually say, hey, Joe, do you really think that your friend Jim should stop trying to find a management job at 75 or 80, which he's done his whole life, and he's actually very good at it, and he should just say, those are gone. I'll go to this place and make 12. I mean, do you actually believe that? I think they probably would say no, but the mentality is there. I mean, you hear it on CNBC all the time. What do you mean? There's jobs available. Why does anybody not have a job? Why are they sitting at home? Well,
there are jobs. I mean, you know, you look around where I live. You look around. You know, they're pretty much everywhere. There's help wanted signs in every window, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. But the thing is that, yeah, okay, there's help wanted signs in every window. But then you look at the internals of this data and it says, okay, but there are jobs at Menards, right?
Well, as you may have seen yesterday, I believe today is the first day of the $15 minimum wage in Chicago, right, Maddie? Maddie's over there educating somebody. But it is. I think today's the first day of $15 an hour job in Chicago. And I don't doubt, Carl, that that's kind of where it should be, you know, whatever. But what does that do to a pizza joint? First of all, you can't get anybody at $10 an hour here anymore anyway. So I don't know it's anywhere near the outrage it would have been, let's say, a year and a half ago. But
right.
Still, I mean, if you're going to be out where Audrey lives, you're going to want to be on the Homer Glen side of the street, not the Chicago side of the street. Not that you want to pay people nothing, but you know maybe the going rate's 14. It's not 10 anymore. That part I get, but
yeah.
But it might be 14. It may not be 15. You know, so I mean I don't know. I mean, in some places it probably isn't 15, but I will say this: it's not 10 anymore. I mean, do you agree with that? I mean, I think you probably do.
Yeah, and that's I mean, even you know, even in the where I live, I mean, there was. You know, there's been some amusing anecdotes, right? I mean, there was a guy that own a local McDonald's franchise that right in downtown. When the lockdown came, they, you know, they took that opportunity to gut the place and rebuild it because it was an older building and, you know, okay, whatever. Well, guess what? Now it's open, but it's drive-through only. And the reason it's drive-through only is you can't get anybody to work. So he's got this nice brand new building, and he could have like chopped the entire front of it off and not done that. And yet he's paying for the whole building, including all the inside area, and using zero of it.
There's no
other than the kitchen.
Well, I bet his prices are up. I'm going to say last quote of Milton Friedman for the day before I wish you a happy fourth, Carl. There's no such thing as a shortage; it's too low of a price.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I don't know if I'd buy that, but anyway, we have a good one this weekend. Go see your fireworks display because guys got all kinds of leftovers from last year, the pros supposedly, because nobody had
it.
There
you
go. We'll talk at you next week. SP Futures up 11, NASDAQ Futures up 77. Everything is good news. Back on Tuesday, Stocks and Jocks.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.